Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I'm so grateful you're here. What you'll find is that High Energy Health is more than just a podcast. It's a community and it's a learning experience. And I encourage you to make it a learning experience deliberately and consciously by having a pen and paper handy, use your device, and make notes. You're going to hear things on the show that are going to rock your world. I want you to write those down, and I want you then to turn those into an action plan for how you can apply, implement these things in your life. Work with the ideas, work with the concepts, and see what they can do to shift your inner reality and in turn your outer reality. So be an active, participatory listener. The second thing I ask you to do is share. We have a couple hundred episodes up there, and the way we've grown so much in the last few years is people share those episodes with their friends. So you think about your social circle. Think about your family. People who are suffering, people who are struggling. And your act of generosity in sending them a link to a show that can make a difference for them could be what it takes to really inspire them and help them shift. So do share the show with others. Bookmark it yourself. Also share it with other people. And just participate in this amazing moment we're in human history, where there are just millions of people all over the planet who are waking up, sharing their light with other people, and being part of this amazing movement to well-being and enlightenment and love that we're seeing sweeping through the planet nowadays. So be part of it, share the show, and also take notes and apply these things to your life. Also, I may occasionally interrupt one of our guests and say, hey, let's do a little exercise right now. Turn their insight into an exercise for your life. So be prepared to do that. Make notes and apply these things actively in your life for your well-being. You're here. It's time. You're going to so enjoy our guest today. Her name is Mandy Morris. She is the author of several books, including The Promise and 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting. She's a coach, speaker, and author, and she's also known for her empowering work on aligning thoughts, emotions, and actions to create a fulfilling life for yourself. She inspires people globally through her books, courses, and workshops. Her approach blends science and spirituality, helping you find your highest potential and live purposefully. Mandy, it is so good to have you here, and your work is just radiant and full of joy and love and full of so many powerful transformative messages for people. And I also know that go back 10, 15 years, your life didn't look like that at all. Where did you come from? How did you go from there? What was there like, and how did you get from there to here?
So life was pretty crazy, to say the least. I remember when I was writing one of my books, actually, I was asked to write my entire childhood and adolescence and early adulthood. And once we got through it all, they were like, this is way too heavy. We cannot put this in a book because everyone is going to be like, oh my gosh, what did this girl go through? So a lot of my life was in turmoil, various traumas and experiences. And as I shifted through those and moved through what I called shutting off my light, because of them in essence, and going through more darkness for years, it wasn't until my mid-20s, which is still very young, I feel, and I feel very blessed to be able to jump into that, that I had kind of my awakening and shift my life and move towards what I get to do now and living this active and conscious reality.
Shutting off your light. And so many people do that. They may sense an inner light. The inner light might seem very different. And then these things happen to shut it down. And it's such a tragedy when that happens, especially when it happens and then that light stays shut down for their whole lives and they die with the light still in them. And I want you just to take a moment here and grab your journal, and I want you to imagine that your early life, as you reflect on it, was that series of events, and I want you just to pick two or three that might have shut down your light. And ask yourself that question in your journal. What in my early life shut down my light? What events told me it wasn't safe to shine? Now, we aren't going to ask you to work on these now, but I am going to ask you to reflect on these over the course of the next while. Ask yourself, which were those events? What were those events? Just hold them in your mind. And we're going to do some more work with those as we go along here. So all of us have had those experiences. They may have been hugely, deeply, obviously traumatic. They may have been far more subtle. But we got these messages saying, it's not okay to shine my light. What were those events for you? So you got those messages and you had those experiences. And then things began to happen that convinced you that maybe your light could shine. What were those things?
Yes, I had this really defining moment. I was in a toxic relationship and it had become abusive. And for some reason, there was something about this particular night where my partner had thrown glass at my face. And I just woke up and was like, what have I been choosing for so long? And it wasn't, you know, I was really good at blaming myself. And looking back, it was things that happened when I was a child, and it kind of changed the way that I perceived the world. But then I began to choose it myself. And so in this radical, beautiful moment, I decided, I didn't realize it at the time, but what I look back on and see is I chose to assume responsibility, not for being in, you know, terrible situations as a child. Of course not. I wasn't victim blaming or shaming myself or anything. It was this very empowering, I can change this, and I'm the only one who can. And so in that moment, I promised myself to humanity. For some reason, it wasn't, I'm going to save myself. It was, I'm going to figure this out, because nobody should feel the way that I have felt for the past 20 plus years. This is not a way to live life. And if everyone is going through something like this, I don't want that for them. So I promised myself to humanity. And I had said, when I kind of called out in desperation, I can't be here for this. If this is all it is, this sucks, first of all, but also, I must be here for another reason. Show me and I will do it. And I think I truly surrendered in that moment, and my life looked upside down. A few weeks later, my now husband, who is the father of our four children, is amazing. He showed up just a few weeks after that declaration, because we finally matched each other in energy. I certainly couldn't have called him in even 5 years prior to that. We wouldn't have been, I think, an emotional or energetic match as partners. And then I began to do my purpose work. And I began to work through all of my things that I had to absolutely sort through. Everything wasn't perfect in that moment. It was just this, I'm willing to finally commit to my healing process. And I mean, healing happened very quickly from there.
What is purpose work?
So for me, purpose work is, why am I here? And mine is very, I think, by the books. It's the write the books and, you know, serve humanity in the masses. I've met people who do their purpose work and they own a nail salon, and the people that they touch when those people come into the, and the way they do the nails, you're just like, this is, you are doing what you were put here to do. And I think that we've forgotten that because everyone's trying to be somebody else. Or I certainly thought, well, I'm not worthy as I am. I can't be loved and liked as I am. So I better put on a bunch of different masks because everyone's telling me that I'm not acceptable as I am. And so we all do that. We learn that from childhood, but as I unraveled that, I realized we all have our perfect thing. And so to me, purpose work is just being the most authentic version of you, doing what you are truly called to do, what lights your soul up. I believe that that's how it works. And I think if everybody is doing that, everyone's their perfect puzzle piece of humanity, then everything kind of takes care of itself. All the global issues that we have and the pain that we see in the world stops existing, because that's not where we live, because we're not being something that we're not.
What lights your soul up? So again, open your journal and write that question down. What a provocative question Maddie's asking us there. What lights your soul up? Now, maybe you aren't manifesting that now. Maybe it seems impossible. It's an impossible dream. Here I'm working as a filing clerk in the county courthouse, and I want to be a jazz saxophonist. It might seem totally out of reach, but just write it down. What lights your soul up? And the other hugely important thing Maddie's saying, I want to underscore here, is it doesn't need to look like somebody else's thing. And we look at these idols, we look at these people who we think have got it all together, and we say, it needs to look like them, but it doesn't. It can be the nail salon. I love it when I go and get a haircut from somebody who's clearly just loving doing what they do, or get served by somebody in a restaurant or a grocery store, and that person is just, there's this angel. There are angels all over the place who are lighting the world up by their presence there. So you can light the world up by your presence, and it can be doing just that thing. And I want you to reflect for a moment. Just ask yourself in your journal. You can answer the question, but Mandy's exact words were, what lights your soul up? That's worth writing down, and then spending at least one lifetime, maybe several, contemplating and acting on that. Yeah, so Mandy, what are some of the ways that does show up for people? Maybe some of the people you work with, people who come to your events, and maybe some of the more unusual ones or dramatic ones.
Yeah, I will have, that's such a huge question I get. Any chance that someone has in front of me during an event, they're like, tell me my purpose work. I'm like, I'm not a crystal ball. I'm not sure, but let's discover it together. And for some, most often, first and foremost, is they feel that it is this huge, daunting responsibility. So they're like, until I do my, which is what I went through, until I do my purpose work, until I figure out what it is, and it's this huge thing, I can feel the pressure of it, I'm incomplete. And I'm like, what if you already did it? What if that smile that you gave that gentleman on your way to the airplane 2 days ago before you got to this retreat or whatever it is, what if he went home and said, you know what? I'm not going to take my life today. There was something about the way that person looked at me. And I don't know. Does it make sense? But I feel differently now. What if you already did it and you just need to go have fun for the rest of your life and stop making everything so darn heavy? And everyone always goes, that's a weird thought. So I've had everything from people who absolutely want to go and want to write children's books, or they want to open a retreat center, or they want to open a nail salon. That's a real person I'm talking about. They want to just be a good parent. They want to take care of themselves. That's their first part of their work. It's everything. And I think it's such a personal journey and an authentic one at that to find whatever that purpose is. But just about everybody I meet is very married to the idea that it's something really big and everyone has to know about it. And I'm like, I'm a horrible example, I know, but that's not the case at all.
So it doesn't have to be something necessarily that looks very grand on the outside. Maddie, I'm just going to tell you this one story about one guy. I recently put a shed in my backyard. The company's name is Touch Shed that makes these sheds. And I was helped at the counter and later on behind one of the desks by one of the clerks who works there. He's in his 70s, and this guy's job is to sell sheds. And he's just raving about selling sheds. He was just waxing poetic about, you know, I sold someone the shed, and now their children are enjoying the shed. That shed's going to last for a long time, bringing them joy. And it humbled me to be with a 70-year-old guy who was just absolutely in his life purpose selling sheds. And as a result of doing that, was being a light and lighting up everyone else in the whole building. So
yes, I always say when someone's like, what's my purpose? I'm like, what do you want the world to feel?
Yeah.
And you don't just have to go and do it, but you be it. You be it in the grocery store. You be it behind closed doors. Like for me, I wanted the world to feel enough and loved. So I'm not just going to do that on camera and then turn into someone else, right? I've got to go and do that for my children and for the people I run into in the store. And if I am just being that, if there are more platforms I'm meant to express that purpose to, they'll show up. Or at least that's what I believe, and so it's then.
Yes, yeah. And so if somebody doesn't have that sense right now, if they do not have that sense, if there is no, they look inside and they're just really confused and they don't know what to do, where do they start?
I would say for anyone who feels that like chaoticness, one, remember that you're in your mind. You're not in your heart. Your heart can find an answer almost instantaneously every single time. At least the next step. And I always say, look for the next illuminated step. I have been in places in my life where I was far too lost in my perceived darkness that I couldn't see, here's the grand, big, beautiful picture, or, you know, here's how this can happen. And that's very, very normal. So I hope no one judges themselves for that. But instead, just look for the next illuminated step. And if you're in your heart, it's going to show up. So I think sometimes the work then becomes just clearing the clutter that's causing for the information to not come through. Similar to when someone says, Mandy, I want to see the signs and synchronicities in life. I'm not getting any. I'm like, oh, you are. You just can't see them and hear them. I remember working with someone, an old, old assistant years ago, and she really wanted some information to kind of synchronistically pop up. And I'm like, okay, so ask for it. Ask for a sign. We go to the store, immediately the receipt, we were just talking about something. The receipt is $44.44. And I'm like, there's your sign. And she goes, oh, I don't know. Starts to just push the sign away. I'm like, girl, we go to another place. We stop to get food. It was, I don't know, it was 11:11 or 33. I mean, it was just very specific. I was like, hello. And she's like, is that really the sign? I'm like, yes. What were we just talking about? So I think when we can't hear it or we have a hard time seeing it, sometimes, at least for myself, I go, I gotta slow things down. I'm probably just bombarded with thoughts, information, too much of life, and I need to slow things down a bit. I need to take maybe an extra 10 minutes in the morning and just breathe for a bit and be centered in myself and meditate. Or, you know, I really don't want to go to that thing this weekend. I'm gonna honor myself and I'm gonna take a little time alone. And these little tiny things that we do to just clear the clutter then might be the first step before the information can come in. But the information is there. Or the next illuminated step is there. It's just us going, am I blocking it or not willing to see it? And can I just slow things down a bit so that I'm in a state of receiving so that I can see it?
So pay attention to the small signs and clear the clutter. And when you pay attention, then you're able to see those things which the clutter otherwise obscures. So look for those small signs. It doesn't have to be something big, bold. It doesn't have to be the Archangel Gabriel descending from heaven with a long scroll to read you your destiny. It can
just be nice.
I know. I wanted that sometimes myself, Maddie. It might just be the $44.44 on that grocery bill. So focus on those two things, clearing the clutter, noticing the small things. And guess what happens when you notice the small things? I'll let you tell them, Maddie. What happens when you notice the small things?
Life becomes magical. You know, I love the idea when I would think about creating a beautiful life. I'm like, I want those crazy miracles. And by all means, I've had unbelievable things that, like, when I talk to my friends, they're like, how could this thought, that's not even on this realm. Like, physics can't even prove it. It's so wild. So those things absolutely exist. I think they're meant for us. But we've got to work our way up to that. And so it's kind of sitting in that space again and being like, that's okay to sit in the confusion of it for a moment. But then again, we lean into, is it some, you know, a butterfly flying by? Is it, you know, do I need to ask for something really specific? Or for me, I will take two pieces of paper if I'm like stuck with a question or something I don't know. This is how strong my faith is though, y'all. So take this with a grain of salt. I will write yes and no. And I'll crumple them up and I'll close my eyes and I'll say, in the highest good of all, should I move to Florida? Should I, you know, go have a cup of tea instead of whatever it is? And I will throw them out and I will keep my eyes closed and I will grab whichever one and I am running with it. And that helps me exercise my intuition, which helps me open up to starting to see the signs.
And also once you are seeing the small signs of your intuition, of the universe, then those larger things do begin to manifest for you. So be open to the small miracles, that paves the way for the big miracles. You're listening to High Energy Health. It's been wonderful to spend this time with you. We're going to go to a break right now. Please stay tuned for more on Mandy's work. Go to our website, MandyMorris.com. MandyMorris.com for her story, information about her and her husband's workshops, their amazing live events, her books, and all the other ways in which you can find these gifts and apply them in your life. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a break.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping. Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.HealthyLife.net.
So, you're now writing books about manifesting. What have you learned about that? What do you share with people in those books?
I think I'd kind of go backwards because manifestation has been labeled a lot of different things over the past few decades. And some of my dearest friends are the pioneers in manifestation, and they were the ones who got the world so excited about manifestation. But what I'd seen after that was that everyone kind of was hoping it was a magic wand. And for myself, I know anything that's worthwhile does take a little bit of elbow grease. And so I started to want to talk about manifestation in the sense that, yes, miracles are absolutely meant for us. Unbelievable things should drop on our heads. But if we have trauma or if we have different experiences in our lives that have changed the way that we perceive the world, then it's going to be a little bit harder to call those magical miracles that drop on our head forth. And so my work became not teaching people how to manifest, because we're all manifesting. We're energetic beings. We're alive. We're sending out information in all moments. So instead, I shifted it to, why are we manifesting what we don't want? What's the unconscious conversation we're having with this proverbial universe? And I focused on that. And I don't think, you know, it probably sounds like manifestation when someone really hears me talk about it, unless I go into the physics of our energy and all the beautiful things that you are an expert in. But it was once we start to implement these practices and our neurology does change, our manifestations, our energy in and of itself also changes. And so that became kind of my... It was downloaded to me that I was supposed to talk about manifestation because all I wanted to do was help people heal their trauma. But that doesn't sound very attractive sometimes. And so I was like, okay, manifestation, all right, source, if this is what you want to call it, then let's do that. And so it allowed for healing to sound and feel fun and magical too, which sounds, you know, at least how society has taught us, they don't go hand in hand, but they can.
Well, there is a very interesting dichotomy and relationship between the two. Because we think, for example, of post-traumatic stress disorder, all of the symptoms that accompany it, hypervigilance, anxiety, depression, avoidance, and all of that category of trauma-driven symptoms as very, very different from transcendence and peak states, what you get to in meditation, where you move to when you're in flow. And yet research shows that there's a strong relationship between them. And many people, in fact, when they hit trauma, then are actually able to use that as a way to springboard into growth. And so the two actually have a paradoxical relationship. And sometimes the people who are most wounded are able to recruit that as a fuel for their personal growth journey. And so understanding that is powerful because you then realize that I had all the suffering and that might paradoxically be what has given me the energy now to move into these elevated states. And I'm sure you've seen that in your work with people, in your own life, and the lives of those around you.
Absolutely. I think I'm the walking embodiment of that. And now with my work being in first responder trauma therapy and so forth, it's been unbelievable to see that beautiful connection and watch someone just authentically make that connection in a way that they may not be consciously aware of, but for them to be able to take what they've experienced as absolutely horrendous as some of the things I have heard, you know, in my work over the years and the things that humanity goes through sometimes, and to turn it into, and I call it transmutation, transcendence is such a beautiful word. They take all of that density and they literally move it into light and they reap the benefits of it. And then they spread it outward to the world. And it's just, I don't know if it's, you know, how it's supposed to be on this planet, but it is such a beautiful process. And for those who don't stay stuck in that dense space, what they do for themselves and just for the collective vibration on the planet, it's almost immeasurable.
So another exercise, grab that journal again and think back to one event in your life that is hard to understand how it could in any way have contributed to your well-being or your good or your future growth. And don't reflect on it a lot now. Treat it like a movie and give it a movie title. Just give that movie a title and write just the title in your journal. And later on, you can go back and reflect on that. But write the movie title in your journal. And then below that, write, is there any conceivable way this could have contributed to my growth? Is there any conceivable way in which this could have contributed to my growth? At the time, you may not have seen it that way. Maybe you don't see it that way now. Maybe you'll never see it that way. But is there some way in which that could have contributed to my growth? It might just seem like a disaster, a wound from which you can never heal. And yet even asking this question is going to open up the possibility of change. Even asking the question with no answer initially, it might take you years. I know there are parts of my life where it's taken me, you know, 65 years to figure out even a smidgen of light into that darkness and find any kind of meaning to it. But believe me, just asking the question is an invitation for the light to shine in. So journal about that, think about that, reflect on that in the future. And that's one of those provocative questions that Mandy is asking us now that gives us the opportunity to bring those things into our personal growth journey. So Mandy, what do you do to help people spark this kind of change in their lives?
I think the starting point is what you were kind of alluding to just now is shifting the perception a little bit on it. Because if we are in a tunnel vision of what happened to me, very rightly so, what happened to me was wrong, it's painful, it's filled with darkness, there's justification for that and there's room for that. And something I write about in my book, The Promise, is there's room for that human experience. And what if there's also this divine experience that kind of envelops the human experience. And there's just a few extra perceptions. We're not moving away from or negating the pain in which we've experienced or that we feel we're justified in being stuck in. But what if there's a little bit of extra room to what else could this also mean? What else is also held here? Is there light even in the darkness? And it's just a question that we have to ask ourselves. And by all means, you take me back 20 years ago, I'd have been like, it's just dark. It shouldn't have happened to me. It was wrong. I was a child, you know, whatever that is. And again, totally justified. But then I would be stuck. And so very authentically, when people start to ask that simple question of what else could this mean? For example, my father not showing up in my life. I internalize that at age 13 because what else could I have done? To, I am so not worth him wanting to be in my life ever, even though once I started to go, what else could this mean? I went, the greatest gift he thought he gave me, which he eventually told me before he passed, was I had to stay away from you because I was so sick. So he thought, out of an act of love, that staying away from me was a good thing. And although, of course, it still hurt me, but I could go, what else could this mean? This was also an act of love. Or this has nothing to do with me. This is a man fighting his demons. But because we are human and we tend to make everything about ourselves, at least for a little bit, we internalize it and we see this tunnel vision perception of what something means. But there's so much more to it. And if we're just willing to, and I know it's a big ask, if we're just willing to see that the things that we've gone through or the things that we're holding on to that don't serve us are a part of the tapestry of life, but they're not at the center of it. They just make the colorful thing happen. They're a part of the incredible painting that we're never going to finish in this lifetime. Then we can see life for what I think we're supposed to see it as, or we can choose to see it as, which is the journey, the flow of things, and that we are built to be so much bigger than whatever we've gone through. And I can say that standing here today, having gone through horrible, horrible things, and go, I am not broken. I am whole. And because I was able to transcend through those traumas, through asking myself more questions, through seeing that it doesn't have to just mean this one thing, this one meaning that I'm placing on it that is a disservice to me. It can also mean that I'm going to help a lot of people who went through it. Or I needed to evolve as a soul and I'm willing to explore that idea. And it just blows you out of the water. And I personally think it brings you to a deeper connection to yourself or to the divine, whatever someone's belief is. And that alone starts to shift the process because, again, we don't see healing as a, I need to sit in a therapy chair for the next 20 years and maybe it won't heal, to I can sit for 4 hours and I can watch my neurology, everything change completely by just asking myself the right questions. And as you had said in the beginning, just completely shifting in those moments where those MRI scans are showing that we can literally change our lives in an instant regardless of what we've gone through. And I want the world to know that. And so, of course, there's many different ways in which I do that, but the most simplistic is let's just broaden the scope for a second and see if there's just some extra information that we couldn't see before.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
So going from tunnel vision on that bad thing to looking around, looking at the context, looking at our whole lives is powerful. Yeah, Carl Rogers, the great psychologist of the 1950s, said, he talked about the blemish. He said, if I hold up a vase over here and the vase has a crack in it, all you see is the crack.
Yes.
You call the finding the blemish. And so we tend to just focus in on that one thing that's a problem, that's a threat. And of course, that was highly adaptive to our ancestors. They needed to go and look and pay great attention to that rustle in the grass that might be a tiger, or that stick on the path that might be a snake. That was very, very adaptive to them to go find the blemish, find what was wrong. But the trouble is we're now using that same model with our bodies, with our relationships, with our partners, with our children, with our parents, with our jobs, with society. And we're just obsessed with things that are wrong, and we aren't seeing all of those other items that can put it in context, that make us realize that it's not all there is. There's far more to our lives than this. So again, just as you're journaling, as you make notes about what Mandy's saying, ask yourself, what bad thing am I having tunnel vision about? Or what negative item in my life am I hyper-focused on? And excluding the good, excluding all the things that surround that, including everything that's going on. The other day, I banged my ankle and I had a sore ankle. I was in pain. And I said, wow, I have 37 trillion cells that aren't in pain. And a few here on my ankle are. So broaden it out. Look at the big picture. And you'll find there's so much to be grateful for. And that thing that is a problem is a small part of our life journey.
Yes, if I may add to that, it's okay to want to stay in that perceived density. I hate when people go, oh, you know, be positive straight away. And then I'm like, no, this has to be an authentic process by all means. This isn't negate the bad and focus on the good. It is, let's explore the bad without calling it bad. What if it just is? What if we can just get curious instead of emotional about this thing? Because that allows for us to be in such an incredible state of empowerment. And then we can begin the process of moving it even to, oh my gosh, this was actually a gift. But it's not like you go from horrible trauma to greatest gift in the world sometimes. And to anyone listening, that's okay. It's a transformative journey. I absolutely, some things took longer than others for me to go, where is the gift in this? And so instead I had to go, what just is this? What else is there available that I haven't looked at without calling it anything?
What do you struggle with now, typically, in that regard?
I hate to say it, but so little. Oh, it's been such a beautiful process. So anytime that something shows up, which are really minute triggers, then I'm always going down to the root. Let's say that I'm frustrated about something. I stop immediately because I know that I'm not in my centered space, and I go, why? I'm very curious. I truly am a curious person by nature. And so I get really curious about it instead of what I used to do, which is let me tag a bunch of extra dense emotions to it, like anger and frustration and stress and fear, and then really dive down into tunnel vision and not see a way out. So always make sure that I pump the brakes. I do a few pattern interrupts, whether that's literally going outside or doing a dance or turning the scene into a cartoon, whatever it is that will stop the process from getting worse in my mind's eye. And then I'll start to ask myself, why am I even doing this? Because I want to know. There's a reason that it's upsetting me. There's a reason that I'm triggered, and it might be something that's rooted in the next layer of my healing from a really deep trauma. And sometimes it's just, I haven't done enough self-care that day. And so I'm just stopping to go, what is it? Why? But I can truly say, and it's not that traumas have stopped. I've still, in this beautiful walk of life, I've still lost my daughter. I've still lost my father. He didn't kill himself that day. We were actually able to figure out where he was, pump his stomach. He lived until his 70s. He just died in 2020. So I lost my father along that journey, and many different friends and family and things. It wasn't perfect, but the way that I dealt with it was so different because I started to have tools. And a part of that tool was that centeredness of knowing myself, knowing what upsets me and what triggers me. And so now there's just not huge things that I'm, even if it is a huge thing by humanity's standards or society's standards, it doesn't hit me horribly hard, at least not for long, because I know what it feels like to be centered, and I choose that state. And I know there's something beautiful there. If I choose to evolve as a soul, that's just my personal journey and my personal desire. So I'm willing to go there and figure out, all right, where's the gold in this mess? And so I spend more time looking for that than focusing on the negative, I guess, now.
Yeah, it's powerful to take that perspective. And then if that becomes a habit, that's your default setting. You just go there and you approach challenges that way. Very, very, very different from the old way. So what Mandy and I want to share with you here is just how radically different your life will be as you use these practices. It won't just improve a little bit. The whole you, who you think you are, and the perspective of from which you live are going to shift. They're going to change dramatically. You become a whole different person living from the inside out. You're living as who you are, living that life into the world around you. And it's very different from being affected and driven by the world around you. So this does result in a radically different life. And when Mandy is scratching her head, metaphorically, and saying, I have a hard time finding something. Imagine all of us being there after a while. Imagine it being hard to find something that we don't bring that, just what Mandy says, curiosity to. Bring curiosity to it. Interesting. Why is it this way? Let's take a look at it. What lessons can I learn about myself, about the situation, from this thing? It's a radically different way of living life, and we all can go there. We all have the neural circuitry in our brains to go there. We just have to turn it on. So I really encourage you to aspire to that in you. That aspire to that in who you can be in your life. Why not? Why not be that person who, when they have a setback, just treats it with curiosity, asks that question, why, and contextualizes it among all the other wonderful things going on in your life.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Mandy, I know also that you and Oliver talk and share about your relationship. Your relationship journey has been a big part in having a wonderful relationship. And so that is something that eludes many people. I know my wife and I, we joke sometimes and say the purpose of the marriages of the people we see around us is to remind us every day of how lucky we are.
Amen.
We'll leave another couple's house. We'll say, oh, okay. Well, bless them and thank them for reminding us of how lucky we are.
Yes.
And, you know, when we are able to just meet as beings of light and love in bodies in a couple, it is exquisite beyond words. As you are working with this in a relationship with Oliver and also being with other people, having relationships, many of whom are not that, how are you able to encourage them? And what do you recommend that they do to shift that vitally important part of life, our relationship lives?
Absolutely. Well, I hope everyone kind of caught this, but I was in a really dark place when I met my husband. So I think there's this perception that we need to be at a certain state or place in our own lives in order to enter conscious relationship. And by all means, you have to be willing and you need a willing participant, because even if you are completely willing and they are not, you're going to get an F, because 100% of you is still only half of the equation. So I would say if you choose to get into a relationship, it is so, I mean, relationships are kind of like entrepreneurship, I say. You're going to grow. It's never going to stop allowing for you to expand as a human being. So you're going to have to want that, right? But the idea of, does this person immediately fit the bill of everything I want? By all means, don't throw your red flags out the window. There's certain absolute no's, but also just that flexibility of, who is this person? What can I learn from them? And as hard as it is, at least this really worked for me, because I didn't see love growing up. I didn't know what a healthy relationship looked like. And it certainly wasn't something that I chose until literally I met my husband. And so it was a very conscious, ongoing act of, I am getting triggered. I am bringing in old patterns. He's bringing old things in. It's just, what are you going to do with it? When you hit those moments, as you inevitably will in a partnership, who are you going to be? And I would say make those decisions, not in that triggered state. Make them when you are connecting, when you just had a beautiful lunch together, or, you know, whatever that may be. Know that you guys are on the same page. But you're going to probably, unless you've had an absolutely perfect life and somehow you have no relationship trauma, no relationship issues. Kudos to you. I've never met anybody who does, but, you know, I would imagine. I'm speaking at least to old Mandy's and to my current self as well, is that there's going to be things you're going to come up against. So just prepare for that. Who am I going to be? What do I normally do when we get into a shouting match? I normally run away. Okay, I'm not going to run away and hide, or I'm not going to sit and fight, or I'm not, whatever it is, I'm not going to run out the door. I'm going to do the opposite of what I normally do. I'm not going to reward myself with a behavior that continues this cycle that I'm not learning. And for me and Oliver, that just blew our relationship out of the water. It was so incredible to see when we did get into those triggered states that we were able to work through it in those beginning years of our relationship and go, this isn't who we are. This is an unhealed part of us dancing with an unhealed part of each other. But this isn't the full panorama. This isn't the authentic version of us. What does the authentic version of us have to say about what we're going through right now? And there was always, again, we blew up that perspective just like we do in other areas. There was always a beautiful answer of, we lean in, we talk, we heal, we understand, we take responsibility, you know, whatever the answer was. And again, it's not perfect and simple in each moment, but it is beyond worth it to walk through life with a partner that you resonate with. You don't have to be perfect in every moment. Don't, you know, that doesn't have to be the expectation, but that beautiful respect and the unconditional love and the support and all the things that maybe some of you dream of, I certainly dreamt of and never thought I would have, it's there. But it's up to us to lean into it and to choose it.
And making those choices changes the relationship, shifts the relationship. It is powerful to make those choices, because you might think the relationship is the relationship, but you make those choices transforms the relationship, even with people or even with a partner where it might seem to be a really big uphill slog. Now, I'm not saying stay in a relationship and try and make it work if you are being abused. Manny and I just want to make totally clear that if this relationship is toxic, go. Not tomorrow, but today.
Yeah, go on.
that when you sit with people, especially people who are different from you, and those may be people who are politically different from you, ideologically different from you, have very different worldviews, religiously different from you, culturally different from you, and you sit there and you are committed, as she's saying, to seeing the being. You are a being interacting with another being through the media of these two human bodies. That is a perspective that shifts everything. And you then look at your behavior and you're just focused on what you can give, what you can say, how you can be, the energy you can put out, and compare it and see if it's what you want yourself to be. I know when I talk to my wife sometimes, I'm really in my head. I'm a scientist. I'm doing research. I'm doing all these intellectual things. And then she gets home from work and I'm totally in my head. Does she want a guy who's in his head? No, she does not. She wants a guy who's in his heart. So I can feel if I'm in my head and I take some deep breaths, drop into my heart, really shift. You probably heard my voice change then. I mean, that's the, you know, head Dawson versus the heart Dawson. You be in your heart with people in your world, and that makes a vast difference. Again, it's in the context. The relationship is held in the context of the beings that you both are. And again, this is a total game changer. And what Maddie's saying, it is possible. So believe it, it is possible.
Yes, and thank you for bringing up living in your heart. That's with relationships. I do that even in business, with my friends, with my family. Whenever I'm like, things are getting too chaotic, or I can't find an answer, or I'm confused, I know I've been in my head too long, and it for some reason, it's not where the answer is. And so I always stop. Same thing, I take a few deep breaths, and I just center into my heart, and I'm like, even if the answer doesn't make a lick of sense, I'm going to honor it, because I know that my heart knows something that my mind probably has some programming on, doesn't understand, but it is going to lead to the end result that I'm going for.
Mandy, as we're nearing the end of our time together here with our audience today, I would love to have you just spend a few minutes and speak from your heart about whatever the universe wants to say through you.
Okay. All right. A conscious channel. Here we come. To everyone listening and to all of humanity, we are in truly, which I think everyone says this at some point, but we truly are in one of the most incredible moments. And I say moment because I don't know if time truly exists, certainly not in the ways that we perceive it as most humans. But in this moment, which is now, we can go anywhere from here. There's pure possibility ahead of us. But because of our choices and because of how we perceive the world is what will show up next. And so I invite everybody to lean into learning about yourself, mastering yourself. It is an ongoing journey. It will never be perfect because there's no such thing, but it will be so beautiful and so rewarding to lay down the things that make you heavy every day. And even more importantly, in my mind, when you lay those things down, you become a better partner, a better parent, a better friend, maybe better in service to humanity if that's something that you love, and you truly live the life that is imagined for you. And I don't know if that's something that you could even conjure up. I could have never conceived the life that I have today. My mind could not stretch that far, but my heart knew it. And the more that I listened to that guidance, the more that life started to show up for me. And I had to put, as I always say, a little elbow grease in there, sometimes a heck of a lot, but it is truly worth it. And I hope that each of you today are filled with excitement towards the now and the future, that you remember what my mom always said to me, and it would drive me insane, everything is a choice. And if you can make choices without any obligation, guilt, shame, or shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but just a choice that feels authentically empowering in each moment, whether that's to have coffee or tea, to go to the gym, go for a walk, to leave your marriage, to stay in it, to all of the big grand decisions that we have to make in our life, that you remember every single moment is a choice towards more flow in life and more abundance and more peace, or not that. And when you don't judge yourself and you get curious in that space, unbelievable things can unfold for you. And I want that for you. I know both of us truly want that for you. And when you are around people who truly want something amazing for you, then you can borrow our confidence for a moment, because it can be no other way. And I told you all today, I love you all so much.
borrow our confidence in you. We have lived this and we know it's possible for you. And even in those days when you might feel it's just wishful thinking, how can I ever move to that space? How can I ever escape the shackles and the pull of my past? What Maddie's saying from her passion here is it's possible. We know it's possible. We've seen people do it many, many, many times. We've done it ourselves. So please do believe that's possible for you. We know it is. And we encourage you to stay on this journey. Mandy, I am beyond grateful.
Likewise. I am so in love with your work. So it's such an honor to be here.
Oh, bless you. It's just a great joy to connect with you and share today. So everyone, thank you. Till the next time we get together, every blessing. Wonderful to connect. And there's a lot more ahead.
Epigenetics is the most exciting new field in science. It's the study of influences that turn your genes on and off. Epigenetics is a breakthrough in health and longevity, and you can learn all about it from two of the world's foremost experts. Dr. Bruce Lipton is the author of The Biology of Belief, and Dr. Dawson Church wrote The Genie in Your Genes. In a free presentation at ConsciousGene.com, they show how to apply epigenetics to boost your health, happiness, and energy levels naturally. Visit ConsciousGene.com. That's ConsciousGene.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.